not mistaken. I just have to check on that to be sure. But it's not on today. So stay tuned for more Gary Noll coming up in this hour. It is now 1 p.m. and this is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for a special program with Gary Noll, an internationally renowned expert in the field of health and nutrition. He is the author of over 70 best-selling books on healthy living and the director of over 100 critically acclaimed full-feature documentary films on natural health, self-empowerment, and the environment. He is the host of The Gary Noll Show, the country's longest-running, nationally syndicated health radio talk show, which you can hear right here on WBAI, as well as the Progressive Radio Network. Throughout his career, Gary Noll has made hundreds of radio and television broadcasts throughout the country as an environmentalist, consumer, advocate, investigative reporter, and nutrition educator. More than 28 different Gary Noll television specials have appeared on PBS stations throughout the nation, inspiring and motivating millions of viewers. He originated and completed more than 100 major investigations on health issues, resulting in the use of material by 2020 and 60 Minutes. Gary Noll has channeled his passion for natural health and extensive knowledge of nutrition to create a truly exceptional line of health products, and he's helped thousands of people experience optimum health naturally. And today we're going to be speaking to Gary. Among the things we're going to speak about are his creative ways and his creative nutrients that he makes available to all of us. And today we're going to be featuring Red Stuff. Yeah, Red Stuff. I love that name. It's all about the red stuff and all the different ways that we can so easily and so importantly make a difference, change our lives, make ourselves healthier by paying attention to what we consume. Hello, Gary. This is Kathy in studio, and you're listening to WBAI in New York. I just introduced you, and it's just so amazing what you've been able to accomplish in a relatively short period of time with the many books, over 70 books, the talk shows, the investigative reporting, directing the movies for which you've won many awards. But I would say the thing that I know best about the work you've done is the people you've helped. Over the years, I must have spoken to hundreds of people through the nutrition, through the running and walking club, and through your direct interaction and lectures with folks, where they've really changed their lives, inspired by what you've been able to bring to them. So it's always a great joy to be able to be here with you and tell the folks about what they can still do to make their lives better. So thank you very much, Gary, for joining me today.
I appreciate this opportunity. It's a double-edged sword. On the one hand, the public, the listeners, have some understanding of the challenges of WBAI, and for that matter, the Pacifica stations. Many of them, the older ones, and we do have a hardcore older audience, and they're getting smaller because a lot of people are moving or dying. And they remember back to when BEI was the place that you turned on because it was relevant in the 1960s from 65 till 75. That was the most important 10 years in Pacifica's history. And because the other mainstream media would not touch the Vietnam War in the same way that Pacifica would. It did not have the depth of intellectuals, especially the liberal intellectuals in the universities. They tended to be more conservative. And so BAI was the voice. It was giving the clarion call, we've got to make change. And it helped lead that change, both on the airwaves, Larry Josephson and all the other voices that people could hear, as well as in the demonstrations. We helped to promote the demonstrations, then lead them. And especially for young idealists, it didn't mean that we were right about everything, but it meant that we felt empowered by our mission, and we had a large, viable, and diverse audience. And then things began to change because a lot of people said, okay, I've done my social justice warrior thing. Now I got to go back to having a family, getting a job, finishing my education, etc. So people then began to pull away, not emotionally. They still were bound by a commitment to social justice, especially as we were winning a lot of battles on the civil rights movement, the women's second generation movement. And one of those women was a close personal friend of mine. In fact, we did one of the major books on the movement. It was 1,626 pages for women only with Barbara Seaman. And in turn, we spent years traveling the country and bringing a different type of message to many of the places outside of the East and West Coast that weren't as interested in women's issues. And so I was happy and proud to be a part of that. And but things were changing. The organic movement, the movement back to the earth. And I had the Fertiller Farm in 1971 upstate New York, which is the only farm in New York State that was teaching organic farming and conservation principles and veganism, and et cetera. And thousands of people came through there. It was free. It was a public service. The first gourmet vegan restaurant, the Fertile Earth, up on 108th and Broadway. And wouldn't you know it, just before COVID, in fact, at the beginning of COVID, I took a walk up Broadway, and I walked up to a little tiny health food store, a little hole in the wall that I had created in 1967. It's still there. And on the corner, right across the street from that little health food store, was a restaurant. It was called the Fertile Earth. And that was where all the political activists, the Berrigan brothers, Black Panthers, they all hung out there at night. You could always tell who was in the FBI because they dressed very conservatively, right? Mm-hmm. Just look at their socks. He's FBI. So anyhow, as I'm standing outside there telling a couple of friends about the history of the restaurant, people started coming over. Talking about, I was a student in, I'm retired now, but I was a student at Columbia at the time, and you offered us students from Columbia, since we were kind of poor, all we could, you know, a dinner for $2.25. And then they would go through these memories of what they ate. Yeah, it was one of those moments in time. And in that half hour, I was in front of 108th and Broadway, at least eight different people from the neighborhood dropped, walking by, stopped and said, hi, Gary. And I used to shop in the health food store. I used to shop in the, come in the restaurant. And that was the movement, the feeling of openness, the feeling of a collectivism, of idealism, something that Spinoza in the 17th century would have been advocating, the uniqueness of the individual working cooperatively with others towards a common goal to advance the human condition. Not just making money, not just believing in the false ideologies that we're surrounded with today. In any case, that's the uniqueness of the city, but it was also the uniqueness of Pacifica and the uniqueness of WBAI. I've been on BAI for 46 years.
Wow.
The longest running non-commercial radio daily program in American history. And it has not changed. That's what people find kind of strange. Well, no, you used to talk only about health. Not true. How do you think we won the war against DDT? Because on my show on BAI, we advocated against DDT. We held marches against DDT. Sometimes only 5 or 6 people showed up. It was not a popular event. But in 1972, we got DDT banned. No simple feat when you're up against an enormously powerful industry. Mm. We promoted that all the vets coming back from Vietnam should be checked for Agent Orange dioxin exposure, which was playing havoc with their bodies. And as we would later see when we advocated for all GIs returning from the Gulf War in 1981, that they were exposed to depleted uranium and biological weapons and the vaccines, the experimental vaccines. And it was BAI, the only radio station, I might mention, not WMYC, that I was also on at one time in my career, until I saw how it was run and I quit that same day. In any case, BAI has always been and had individual shows that were beacons of being relevant. So the GIs knew that we would help them and did, never charged a penny, help thousands and thousands of people suffering from Agent Orange poisoning, the adverse effects of experimental vaccines, Gulf War syndrome, the homelessness of Gulf War vets. And it's now 102 documentaries and 103 books, and over 50,000 hours of broadcasting and over 327 original in-depth investigative reports. The first broadcast in American radio history on the politics of cancer from the cancer establishment came on WBAI in 1975. And that was when the head of public relations for the previous 25 years. Now you're going back to 1950. And wow. His name was Pat McGrady Sr. And he's the one who created the entire public relations program about send a check and get a checkup, you know, that whole thing about cancer. And his son was an award-winning journalist and Moscow bureau chief for Newsweek, Pat McGrady Jr. And he introduced me to his father, and he said, "Can you give us an hour?" I said, "Sure." And he gave me an hour, and it took 6 hours because he just let it all out. I don't use blind sources. I don't use anonymous sources. Anyone that gives me information, it goes on the record. And so I was also one of those people who thought they wouldn't. Nobody would play politics with cancer. I mean, that's just, you know, there's got to be something sacred within medicine that you have honest efforts without considering profit or funding of your institutions. And just the opposite was true. And I did the series. Nobody wanted to publish it. And I went to all my liberal friends and all my liberal publications, you know, the East Village Other and The Nation magazine and Mother Jones, and nobody would touch it because nobody had ever gone after the cancer industry. It was just a sacred cow. You didn't do it. And I did it. And nobody wanted to publish it. I was rejected by everyone. And I didn't never had anything rejected. All my stuff was, you know, hard-hitting. I was the chief author and caveat emptor with Ralph Nader. Every month, we went after major corporations, starting in the early 70s. In any case, when nobody would publish it, Ed Downs published a newspaper on the East Side. And he said, "I'm going to take a chance. I cannot afford a lawsuit. I hope everything in here proves." And I said, "Verify it. Check it out." He did. So he published it. And it won the Audi Award for Best Investigative Journalism. And then that little tiny newspaper, I got a call from a major publisher, one of the biggest in America, magazine publishers. And his whole staff met with me. I had never met any of these people. It was in Judy Garland down on East 67th Street, her old townhouse. And they were all sitting around this table. And boy, they look like they wanted to throw a dagger at me. And this big gruff guy says, "Well, we can't publish this because all of our advertising, we'll lose $7 million in advertising per month. Can't afford it." And then the lawyer said, well, we'll be sued. We can't afford any more lawsuits. And everybody gave a reason why it couldn't be published. And then the publisher leans across the table and he says, Gary, do you really believe that if we publish this, it will allow people suffering from cancer to know that there's some other therapies they could use that could save their lives? I said, yes, sir. We have absolute irrefutable proof that there are better therapies out there than anything the Orthodox community has to offer at Sloan Kettering or any place else. And that's not to put down Sloan Kettering. I know they're doing the best they can when it comes to terminal cancer. And I said, I've been to his clinic. He said, then we're going to publish it. So I get out on the steps, and this guy comes up to me, and he puts his finger right in my chest, like hit me in the chest bone. He says, you will not publish this article in my magazine. I said, sir, I said, it's not your magazine, and it will be published. And that began a 27-year friendship with the publisher. And I published more original investigative journalism going after every major industry. 2020, it won two Emmys, 60 Minutes, Gabe Pressman in a 10-part series, also won an Emmy. So it was a whole series called Medical Genocide that nobody would ever use that title, right? And this was, each article was read by millions of people. And that's what the big breakthrough was. And then behind that became Peter Barry Chalka and other people started to see, yeah, you can take on the establishment. And then it was just a lot of good journalism going against corruption in the establishment that had been going on for decades. We took on the AMA and we won right up to the U.S. Supreme Court. No one had ever done that before. And anyhow, I don't want to get lost in this. But no, it's just to show you that the reason all this was important, because BAI was the only radio station that could do a program that would go after, in with complete resources and no bias, what the facts showed was what the facts were. And even though there were people on BAI who did not want to have these on and couldn't figure me out at all, not then and not now, they're clueless. So, forgive them. So, in any case, we took on the establishment. And we've been taking on the establishment nonstop for 46 straight years. And thank goodness other producers, other hosts, have also taken on the establishment and maintained the relevance of these topics. And when you're no longer relevant, that's the death most painful to die. We're all going to die. But when you're no longer relevant, but you're still alive, when you were doing things that were important and helped the world and helped move the thought of what humanity could be at the more of an apex rather than a descension into chaos, and that's what BAI has led. It has led some of the most important movements, by extension, different Pacifica stations, because I was also on PFW in Washington for 36 years, and I'm still played. I don't raise funds for them anymore because I don't like all the toxic energy and the internecine politics, KPFK, but I've been on out there for over 37 years. So, weekly for 6 hours. So, my commitment to the station is not in question. It's just that what can we do to help the station survive? And literally, Kathy, and this is not an exaggeration or hyperbole, the station is at a point where without people signing up to be buddies, meaning each month you give a pledge, and for whatever you can afford, the station's able to use that, and that pays for the electric bill, that pays for the salaries. But there have been recent weeks where salaries were delayed, as few people that are given a salary at the station. It probably works off one-third the staff that it should. So supporting the station is a big deal. And I donate what I can every year to the station with free premiums. I'm coming back to do a lecture, coming back to premiere a new award-winning film. In fact, the most award-winning film in American history is a documentary, Last Call for Tomorrow, about what's happening with the environment, why it's not being a greater priority, than what it should be, and why the average person just seems cognitively disconnected from their lifestyle and their choices, buying clothes they don't need, you know, buying an extra car, building a bigger house, buying food they're not going to eat, eating meat, all these things that actually contribute to global warming. And yet if you ask, oh yeah, I'm for the environment, helping the environment, but your lifestyle doesn't show it. Anyhow, we're in a confused place. We have too many crises. We have too many people demand we change based upon their perception of our life and the uselessness, worthlessness, and that's the actual words used by a professor of history, a Dr. Harari, who is the chief spokesman for the World Economic Forum, saying, you know, you're useless and you're worthless. I mean, he actually has said that. I mean, Kathy, in your and I lifetime, in our adult lifetime, we have never had those who disdain us come out publicly and say how they intend to use us.
Mm.
Now they do. There is no hiding anything. And I play these clips every day in their own words. You know, and it shows, and yet the average person still, it's not turning on a switch. When Bill Gates comes out and says, well, we didn't know, and there's no way we would have known it really wasn't going to be that bad to, you know, and it's certainly not to children and young people. Yeah, there's no risk to children, young people, so why are you giving the vaccines? It's purely about profit. But older people, you should have been treating their comorbidities. If you treated the comorbidities, and we did nothing to help people with comorbidities.
Yes.
Just stay at home until you're so sick and your lips turn blue.
I know. And, you know, Gary, this happened with my eldest brother.
Yeah, and we're saying that now. We're hearing people who led us into this conundrum say these things as if, oops, lesson learned. So as long as someone in power at the corporate level or government level can say, or one of these, the big four corporations that control the vast majority of resources in the world, if you want a Pepsi-Cola or Coca-Cola, hopefully you don't want either, but whichever one you want, they own both companies. Mm. If you put your money in Citibank or Goldman Sachs or Chase, they own all of them. If you buy a Ford versus a Buick, they own them, because they are major shareholders in all these thousands and thousands of corporations. BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, Berkshire Hathaway. And these are the people who are on the board of the World Economic Forum. These are the people who control the media. These are the people that control the World Health Organization. And these are the people that continue. But guess what they don't control? WBAI. Maybe it's considered just too irrelevant, too insignificant, and it's going to die anyhow in their mind. So who cares? They've already infiltrated all the organizations. Anyone who's too naive to think that they have infiltrated Pacifica a long time ago, causing a lot of the internal rot descent and the self-decay, is not paying attention to how these companies and the deep state works. In any case, what's really nice about BAI, of all the Category 6 political, ideological, and cultural hurricanes and tsunamis it's weathered, it still has a voice. It's still broadcasting. You and I are on the air now. Now, I'd rather, and everyone else would rather, hear a station's program that's supposed to be there, Leonard Lopate or whoever it might be, or even my own. But they can't raise enough money. The days that you remember where Eutrice Lead and I, in one evening, I was driving back from a lecture I gave, and she reached me on one of these old cell phones, those gigantic cell phones, you know, they're larger than a shoe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in the back of this car, and I can hear all this drum music, this, you know, and she's saying, Gary, let's pitch. I said, okay. So the whole ride back for an hour, we pitched. We raised $90,000. $90,000. That was twice we did that, $90,000. We never had to play more than 14 days, and sometimes we made our money in 10 days and stopped the fund drive. And that was true at all the stations. But that's before the stations decided to tear themselves apart and everyone was self-righteously indignant that they were right and everyone else was wrong. And so as a result, it was a suicide by a thousand cuts, and that's where we are today. But there's still those who want to rebuild the station, bring in new voices, and make the station relevant again. And we're actually seeing numbers increasing. We're seeing new listeners. We're hearing new people. And we are hearing topics that are relevant to people's needs today. So even though we may seem like we're ready for the embalming fluid, we're not. And we're not because of the programming, and because the viability of the audience saying, yeah, there's still stuff on the station worth listening to, and it's empowering, and I'm going to be here and give you the support. So I just want to share that. And again, this 27 minutes introduction to let people know we know that we shouldn't be pitching all the time. We know that. I can show you a dozen emails I've sent to the station management program director. Please stop pitching my show. And then they'll send back an email saying, we can't raise money anywhere else. We don't raise, you know, $100,000. We used to raise $84,000 a day, $84,000 average. We're lucky to hit a $3,000 day. So how are we supposed to pay? And then the other stations see that we can't pay our tower fee or rental, so they got to use their money, and all of them are dying, all of them. So their idea is, well, why don't we just sell BAI? It's a commercial license. We can get $20, $30, $40, $50 million, whatever the market gives, and then share that with the other four remaining stations so they can upgrade and pay the help and have all the good things that a good station, well-run, another, you know, non-commercial radio station, one of NPR stations, will be like them, not in programming, but in solvency. And so these people have been vying for power on the national board and doing campaign after campaign after campaign to try to get BAI into a position where people all agree it's best that we sacrifice BAI. And we're saying, no, that's not the only option. And we're the one station that's showing, PFW's got some new audience too, but we're actually showing growth. And we're showing viability. We're showing relevance. So let us look at what we can do to work together. So that's the sad story of why we're here pitching today. So I just wanted to give that up front.
Thank you so much for that, Gary. And I'm just going to give people the pledge line. It's 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. And remember, as Gary mentioned earlier, you can be a WBAI buddy for the Gary Null Show or your favorite program, and you can call that line. You can also go to our website, givetowbai.org, givetowbai.org. And today we're reaching out to you to make a pledge to support the station in the amount of $125, $125. And Gary is providing for us a wonderful gift that we will thank you with, a bottle of the Gary Null Red Stuff, 18 fruits and phytonutrients. And this is an amazing nutritional product. I think one of the biggest lessons that we've learned is that we need to manage our health before we get into a crisis. We need to support our immune system. We need to make ourselves stronger and healthier. And this is one of those products that can make a significant difference by having all of these incredible nutrients in one drink. You just mix it with water, and it will last you a good time. And there's another thing that I learned very much over this crisis, is that if you have a family member that you want to help, they're really not going to listen to you. At least that was my experience. But I would love to have been able to, I didn't realize at the time, that, you know, we can help our family by giving them something that they can use to build their own immune system, something that has science behind it, something that is delicious to have and will, and they can read the labels and see how much it's going to build and support their health. So we're asking you to make a dual commitment to help WBAI, but we also want you to improve your own health and assist your family where needed by making that phone call, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and ask for Gary Null's Red Stuff. And it comes in a beautiful container. Your family, your friends will look at the label and say, wow, that looks delicious. I'm looking right now at this beautiful picture of all the fruit, the watermelon and the apples and the grapes and all the wonderful nutrients that we can get from fruits, but we don't have to go out there and eat a ton of that fruit. We have the nutrients right here in Red Stuff. The number to call, 212-209-2950 for your pledge of $125. You'll have this amazing nutrient that you can have, you can share, and you can begin to build health back into the priority for yourself, for your family, for your children, for the elders in your family who, more than any of us, really need to take care of their health. And it's interesting, I don't think of myself as an elder, but I think I might be at this point. But there are so many people in my family, certainly, who I want to try to shift, still trying to help people shift out of those old habits that are compromising their health into a way of living, a way of understanding that they can change and they can do better. And that's why I love things like this. Gary Null's Red Stuff is something that you could have on your own counter. You could give to your friends, to your family, to the aunts and uncles, the parents and grandparents, and they'll be able to say, wow, this really tastes good. I could do this. And they can begin to make those changes. And even us individually, we don't always do the right thing. We know we should do it, but we don't always do what we know we should do. And this particular product, Red Stuff, is something that you can make a commitment to. You can have a scoop of this in your water every day, and you'll know that you're building your immune system. You're making yourself stronger and more resilient. And just as we want WBAI to be resilient, we also want you as an individual, all of us as human beings, to be healthy. And we're not going to necessarily find it in the medical care system, because it's not about nutrients, it's not about preemptive care, it's not about transforming your lifestyle for the most part. And these are choices that we have to make based on our own understanding and education and knowledge. So make that phone call, 212-209-2950, and you can make that pledge of $125 for Red Stuff. Those of you who want to nourish your family, get one, get two, get three, whatever you can manage, and you can give them out. Give someone you love something that will love them back. And that's really what this is with Gary Null's Red Stuff. And it's an amazing nutritional... go ahead, Gary.
Kathy, yeah. Let me just say a few words. First of all, for 33 years, I never once offered a premium except as a book, a documentary film, also premieres to movies. Remember when I premiered that one down at that theater downtown for a week?
Mm-hmm.
And you were there every day.
Yeah.
And we raised about $38,000 for that. I gave all the money to the to WBAI. And also lectures, my lectures, and now I combine lectures that we did fundraisers, about 20 altogether, for different films at different locations with lectures afterwards. And then it was Tony who suggested that we use a premium. I was against it, but I lost out on that, and the station was able to recover about $1.7 million. It was in the hole at that time when I came back to WBI. And so now, here we are. What do you need to know? First, I don't do infomercials. This is not an infomercial. I never make promises about a product, ever. I don't say, oh, this will cure that or that. And there are, unfortunately, some on television and radio where people go over a line of reasonableness and explaining what a product is to making claims that cause people to be motivated to make a call, but they can't prove what they're suggesting, and I don't believe in doing that. So here's what you should know about red stuff. We know that we should be eating more fruits and vegetables every day. The entirety of scientific literature, and I am a scientist, and I have anti-aging is my primary field of science. I've counseled tens of thousands of people. I've done over 50 clinical studies. I've had over 400 different health support groups, collect a lot of data, published in peer-reviewed literature, and I've shared my insight at scientific conferences where I've been asked to attend around the world. I have three coming up just the next several months. So when it came to saying, what can I do to enhance a person's well-being, well, first I give the basic four principles. One, you got to exercise. You can't be sitting all day. That shortens your lifespan and increases your risk of stroke. You don't want your blood coagulating. Yeah, you don't want thrombosis. You don't want embolisms. And the more we sit, the more vulnerable we are to those. So exercising, ideally, to walk about between 6,000 to 10,000 steps a day. And there's a little, it looks like a little body odometer. It's a little $15, $20 gadget. You just hook it on to your shorts, you know, your running shorts or your gym shorts. And so every step you take, it counts. And we need that. We need to do our exercise each day, both aerobic, walking or biking or jogging, and or resistant exercises. The body needs that. Next, we need to have a healthy plant-based diet or a Mediterranean diet as best as we can. It's an inexpensive diet compared to the standard American diet because look at the price now of meat and chicken and fish and pork and compare that to the price of legumes and pulses and beans and whole grains. And you're saving a lot of money when you're buying vegetables, especially starchy vegetables. And a lot of people think as long as they have, you know, a salad once in a while, they're doing fine. That's not the case. When you start taking people's blood chemistries and you review them with a person, you see all these vitamin D deficient, vitamin C deficient, magnesium deficient, zinc deficient, and you need these. So having a healthy diet as the center of a day, a good smoothie in the morning, a main meal early in the afternoon, and a small light meal in the evening. You know, having a nice soup and a salad in the evening. That's all you need. You don't need a lot because it's still going to be in your stomach when you go to sleep, and you don't want that. That's one of the causes of insomnia. And we need a good night's sleep in order to maintain a healthy immune system. So stay away from the carbs, stay away from the simple sugars, and definitely stay away from the caffeine and the light and electromagnetic pulsing items like cell phones and digital equipment, because that also pulses into the brain, that impacts the pineal gland, that impacts melatonin, that impacts a good night's sleep. So have yourself a good night's sleep. You're going to live a longer life and be healthier. Have a healthy plant-based diet. Modify your fasting. Now, when I eat at night, I don't eat again until the next morning. I like to have 15 hours between my last meal and my breakfast, breaking a fast in the morning. That has been shown by every scientific study to extend our lifespan. Modified fasting. We do just the opposite. We eat all the time. We never stop eating. As a result, our metabolism is overstressed and we're loaded up with what is called an excessive amount of body mass index. That means fat in the belly and the thighs, and that shortens our lives, makes us susceptible to disease, including diabetes and high blood pressure and depression. So the more normal your weight, the healthier you're going to be. So we eat right, we exercise, and make sure you're drinking lots of liquids every day. Ideally, a fresh glass of orange juice and grapefruit juice in the morning. fresh made. Make it yourself. Get one of those little gadgets that you just cut the orange or grapefruit in half and then push down on and the juice comes out. It spins around, centrifugal force. They're about $30 and they last a long time. I've got one. I'm using it every day. I'm making a half a gallon of juice, fresh juice every day. I combine different juices and it's still working 20 years later. So lots of good liquids in the body, so you're hydrated, exercising, eating right, and then engage in de-stressful things. Meditation, listening to music, just getting that oxytocin going by being with a loved one or a pet and just spending quality time with it. That's the feel-good love hormone, and we need that, especially in stressful times. So when you cover all those bases, you're doing the right thing. And the more those bases you cover, the more right thing you're doing, the longer you're likely to live, less disease. Because disease is something we have to work on, and we never give ourselves credit for how hard we work on getting sick. We just don't like getting sick. But we work at getting there. So if you can do yoga, if you can do meditation, biofeedback, Tai Chi, all good for you. And we should. And now you can do those things off your television, meaning you, or your computer. You can go on there and put on things I can do from my wheelchair. And suddenly all these different exercises you can do from your wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no real excuse we should give ourselves any longer for not at least pretending that we care about our health. Because if you don't want to care about your health, A, there's no reason to listen to my radio show. And B, there's no reason for you to support the station with a health premium because you're not going to use it. But I believe most people do want to be healthy. I believe most people want to avoid disease wherever possible. And thank goodness there is a large, long listenership to the station that practices healthy choices. So then in comes Red Stuff. It's not a miracle. But what I've done is this. I've simply taken foods that I believe in the scientific literature supports we should have more of on a regular basis. And I put together watermelon and cherries and strawberries and blueberries and raspberries and apples and grapes and bananas and pomegranates and papaya and prunes and acerola cherries and goji berries and cranberries and acai berries and bilberries and grapeseed extract. And I put them all together. Now, the science is simple, and to my knowledge, I'm the first person to do this. If someone else did it before them, that's possible. I'm just not aware of it. But way back in the mid-1980s, I found that when I traveled, I was going to places that I simply couldn't eat. I mean, Kathy, if you've ever been to Cheyenne, Wyoming, and some other places out there, there are no vegan restaurants. I'm a vegan, all right? Mm. And so they'll say, well, we can give you baked potato. Okay. And literally, I have gone into a town. I've gone to a supermarket. I bought stuff. I take it to a restaurant, and I say, what's your most expensive meal? Well, T-bone steak. How much is it? Well, with mushrooms, it's $16. I said, here's $20. Would you simply cook up in a simple dish, these beans, this brown rice? It costs you nothing. You're going to make $20 profit. That's better than if I came in and bought a meal. Okay. And most of the time, they're okay with that. And when I look at the menu, I mean, their vegetables are overcooked. Everything's soaked in butter or grease. French fries, they've got everything that I would never suggest anyone eat. That they got a lot of, and everyone's gorging on it. And even the all-you-can-eat buffets, I go over there and I start looking at the buffets, and, you know, they got some beans, but they're in pork. They got pork in there and pork fat. Well, I'm not putting that in my body. So anyhow, I've managed to learn how to survive. So one day, a friend of mine named Dave was visiting me on my ranch. I've either lived on a ranch or a farm my entire adult life. Because for me, having my hands in the soil, you know, planting things, and saving animals' lives in animal sanctuaries, you know, that to me is a highlight of my life, more so than all the other work I do. And even last night, I'm going to give the final feeding for the day to some animals at my animal sanctuary, where I rescue animals and find them loving homes for life, and especially those that have been abused or used or bred. And I hear a little chirping. I look around, and there I see it, a baby peacock.
Oh!
And somehow it's a little tiny thing, looks like a little chicken, and it jumped up on a pot so it could look around right beside a swan pond. So the swans are there looking at this little creature, and I'm thinking, if it just goes any more over to one side, it's going to fall in the swan pond. I'm going to have to jump in there and get it. It'll drown. So it took about 45 minutes to finally jump down and went through all these flora and fauna. I finally found it. But now I've got it. Where's this mom? So then I had to go around and find, well, there's three there, but they're too big. And you can find once in a while a surrogate mom, but not often, where she'll just take on raising 30 babies. And I couldn't find any surrogates. So I'd put it near a mother with three babies, and they'd come over and try to peck it. And this is the downside you see in nature, a baby rejected. And the little baby's just looking for its mother and its siblings. And so couldn't find it. So put it in an environment with a towel and food and water and a quiet place. And in the morning, I put it where I knew all the peacocks come to eat. And sure enough, all the peacocks come, none of them pay attention. But one mother goes right over and is, and the little one's chirping, and it's chirping, and I let it out. And they immediately bonded and went about their way. That's what it means to live on a ranch. That's what it means to be around animals. Now, that is not in any way to take away the uniqueness and wonder of the city and its phenomenal culture, which I love, and the diversity of its people, and especially New Yorkers who are so brutally honest. And I like that honesty. That's also what, to me, is a strength in their character. You never have to guess what they're thinking. They're going to tell you whether you want to know it or not, right? With an attitude from hell. And that's okay, too. So when I'm looking at how can I get something to eat, he invented a technology that took a juice and made it into a powder without heat. That was very good. So I had 5 acres of vegetables, and I juiced them all. And I'm thinking I'm going to have a ton of years' worth of food. I end up with 5 gallon containers of powder. That's it. I said, where's the rest? He said, that's it. He said, remember, there's very little juice in broccoli. Parsley has almost no juice. You could juice a whole bushel basket of parsley and get a little, you know, spoonful of juice. And he said, then when you, that's 97% more or less of juice is water. So now you get very little juice, depending upon what you're juicing. If you juice a cucumber or celery, of course you're going to get a lot of juice. You juice watermelon, you're going to get a ton of juice. But for most other vegetables and fruits, you don't get much. And but then you have to dehydrate that without heat. And that's where his invention came in. And then that little bit of juice goes down to a speck of powder. There's very little powder there. Because then you think, well, what is it in an apple? Okay, you want the fiber, you want the skin. There's where you get your quercetin and your polyphenols. But when you're drinking a glass of apple juice, you're getting a maximum amount of the absorbable nutrients minus the fiber. But when you dry the apple juice, you're eliminating the water, so you're really getting a powerful amount of what made that product so important. You're not getting the fiber, but you're getting an awful lot of what your body's going to be able to absorb at a very high level. So then I ask a simple question. How's this going to do? And so I took these on my tour. I was on one of these long book tours. And when I finished, after about 38 days, I felt great. Occasionally, I would find a place where I could go in and have them make me a baked potato and but they didn't have olive oil, so I had to learn how to take my olive oil with. Back then, you could drive, to go on a plane with a bottle of olive oil. And so I survived and did fine. And there was nothing like coming back to New York City to those great vegan restaurants that populated the village and on the Upper West Side. In any case, so think about this. How often in the real world would you have watermelon and cherries and strawberries and blueberries and raspberries and apples and grapes and bananas and pomegranate, papaya and prunes and acerola and goji, cranberries, acai, bilberries? How often would you have all that at one sitting? And then you realize, well, how much of that produce did I have to have in order to get a serving of food? And there's one product on the market that advertises itself, oh, we, you know, you don't have to eat if you, you know, take our product. And so I took it in the laboratory about a month ago and tested it, and I didn't see any servings of food. Mm. I wrote them a letter. But mine does. But I still don't say, give up your food and take this. Never would say that. That would be irresponsible. This is what you take after you've gone through the process of eating well. Because this is the, I call it the nutrition health insurance, the extra above and beyond conscious and reasonable food choices and consumption. So it's not a miracle. It's not meant to cure any disease. It's meant to provide you with the nutrients from the different products in nature that are selected, washed, juiced and dried without high heat, so the nutrients are not scorched. You know, they're not scorched or they're not denatured. So at least you can say to yourself, yeah, I started my day, I made a smoothie, I put a tablespoon of almond butter in there or walnut butter or sunflower, pumpkin seed butter, and I put a scoop of my red stuff in there, and I put a scoop of plant-based protein powder and with probiotics, and I'm ready to go. Mm. I mean, I've got a full spectrum of stuff from this smoothie in my body, and it's going to last 4 or 5 hours. I'm in good shape. That's what it's meant for. And that is just reasonable and responsible.
Oh, that's wonderful, Gary. Thank you so much. That makes so much more sense. And when I look at all of these nutrients and you ask that question, I don't think I've ever had this bountiful selection of fruits and nutrients in any one place at any one time, aside from the opportunity to have it do something, red stuff. And I know that I kind of grew up on green stuff and knew how much that helped me back when I was doing my training and how much it made me feel so much better, how I it was able to help recovery. And I see that red stuff is an amazing offering for all of our listeners to begin to turn that corner and nourish themselves. And it's like a big heart. It's a red container full of fruit. And it's a way to say, I'm going to care for my life. I'm going to care for my body. And I want to encourage you to call. We're in the last few moments of the program. The number is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950, and your pledge of $125 will go a long way towards supporting and sustaining the radio station. And Gary is offering you this gift of red stuff in exchange for that donation to WBAI. 212-209-2950 is the number to call. You can go to the website, give2wbai.org, and you can also pledge online and receive this amazing gift. And it is a gift. It's a gift for your health. It's a gift for WBAI. Your pledge is helping to sustain the health of our radio station. So it's a win all around for everyone involved. That number is 212-209-2950. 212 209-2950. And for your pledge of $125, we will thank you with a bottle, a container of red stuff with 18 fruits and phytonutrients. And when I look at all that's in there, I understand how it is packed with nutrition. And you could even just scan these fruits, look them up, and you learn a lot about how they're going to contribute to your well-being.
Kathy, I don't make any claims ever and never have. People are smart enough, if they want to know why I would include apples, they can Google apples health benefits and they can read it for themselves. One other thing, all of us, I'm sure, listening right now, have friends who may not be as aware of the power of positive choices in their lives, the foods they eat, the type of liquid they drink. And so if you got this as a gift for a parent or someone and just said, look, you're not going to change how you eat because of me, but would you at least once a day take one scoop of this and any liquid you want to at least let me know that you're doing something for your health? And because not everybody is as interested or as disciplined in their healthy choices they should be, it doesn't make them a bad person. It just makes this a little easier to explain to people why you'd like to give it to them as a gift. And I do this all the time. Mm. And finally, when you call 212-209-2950 and say you also would like to become a WBAI buddy. And again, this is not about a premium. The station and what you have the benefit by listening every day for free is the premium. And let's just say that you can afford $20 a month. Okay, the station will then get that $20 a month and be able to apply that against its expenses. And the more buddies we have, the more these basic expenses are paid for. So that's another way you can help the station. So call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. And just say you want to be a WBAI buddy. That will really make a difference. And our goal is to be able to pay in advance for the tower rental. And I believe they have a $270-some-thousand goal. And so that's, they would like to be able to pay that in advance. So right now, that's what they're trying to do, and I'm just trying to help them pay the rent. So this month. And so if you get either the premium or you call and become a buddy, that helps that cause.
We're asking you to make a dual commitment to help WBAI, but we also want you to improve your own health and assist your family where needed by making that phone call, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, and ask for Gary Null's Red Stuff. And it comes in a beautiful container. Your family, your friends will look at the label and say, wow, that looks delicious. I'm looking right now at this beautiful picture of all the fruit, the watermelon and the apples and the grapes and all the wonderful nutrients that we can get from fruits, but we don't have to go out there and eat a ton of that fruit. We have the nutrients right here in Red Stuff. The number to call, 212-209-2950 for your pledge of $125. You'll have this amazing nutrient that you can have, you can share, and you can begin to build health back into the priority for yourself, for your family, for your children, for the elders in your family who, more than any of us, really need to take care of their health. And it's interesting, I don't think of myself as an elder, but I think I might be at this point. But there are so many people in my family, certainly, who I want to try to shift, still trying to help people shift out of those old habits that are compromising their health into a way of living, a way of understanding that they can change and they can do better. And that's why I love things like this. Gary Noel's Red Stuff is something that you could have on your own counter. You could give to your friends, to your family, to the aunts and uncles, the parents and grandparents, and they'll be able to say, wow, this really tastes good. I could do this. And they can begin to make those changes. And even us individually, we don't always do the right thing. We know we should do it, but we don't always do what we know we should do. And this particular product, Red Stuff, is something that you can make a commitment to. You can have a scoop of this in your water every day, and you'll know that you're building your immune system. You're making yourself stronger and more resilient. And just as we want WBAI to be resilient, we also want you as an individual, all of us as human beings, to be healthy. And we're not going to necessarily find it in the medical care system.